Hi, folks. Here I am at Locarno and bring you the next interview. A new competition movie made by a director who I know very well and you know him, Alexandra Kubaritze. Hi.
Hi.
It's great to talk to you here in Locarno where you have your new movie Dry Leaf in competition. Dry Leaf is a story that connects many recurring themes in your work. For example, there is soccer, like you love soccer. There is the motive of the disappearing, something is invisible, something that cannot be seen. And there it's a very, very much a family story. Would you like to talk about the genesis of this film?
Yeah. Sure. Thanks, first of all. The genesis was had like different stages. And first one was that I started to write a script because I was kind of stuck in a hotel room during pandemics with no laptop and no phone, but with a pen and the paper and some ideas. These ideas were mainly that I wanted to make a road movie all over Georgia, but who is traveling? And I thought that my father could make it. Okay, the next question, is he alone or not? And then I remembered about this dream to have a film with the invisible actor. And then he came in and okay, what are they looking for? These football fields, they tell a lot of stories. If you go to different villages before talking with people or see the village, if you just see the football field, it will tell you a lot about the situation there. If you see that the grass has grown, you immediately know that the village is getting empty, that there are no kids who play there. In some villages, there are no fields at all anymore because now maybe for 30 years, no one plays there. In some villages, you have a bit better situation and so on. So it's a good indicator kind of situation. It has to do a lot of with football, with game, in a sense that I was looking for football fields made not by the state or like organized municipality, but by kids themselves. And it's always beautiful to see kids organize themselves, setting up some rules and do this then. For me, when as a kid, it was one of the first things which you do with others, like it's kind of a social creation that you create a field.
At what point was it clear for you that you would have your father to play the main character?
Almost from the beginning. He once told me that he wanted to be an actor as a young man, and that's when I thought, if yes, we can of course do it. He then chose another profession, but I think this kind of a wish stayed in him. I always see it, even if I make a picture of him, he kind of likes it when the camera is pointed to him. So it's a good opportunity. Not everyone is like this. I think he has energy and to make it. On the other hand, a kind of a sadness, which is also very interesting.
Was it hard to work with your own father? Was the authority ever questioned?
No, I think for him, it was like really important to help. To make this film, maybe it was only possibility to work with a family member who would do anything for you. Because it was very, very tiring. Because we were driving around and he was the one who was driving. So we had this one car and he would drive and then we would come somewhere and then he would act and then he would drive. So it was very challenging. Sometimes I saw, okay, now he's very tired. Not everyone will do it for you.
Do you also have another family member in the film? Your brother did the soundtrack and the recordings.
We worked before on my previous film and also on the one before together. On one hand, I know that he understands what the film needs and he's there to create this music. But besides that, it's very important to have someone next to me who's on my side, whom I can trust like completely and who I can always ask like if I'm not sure about something for advice. He's like this. Even in the editing, even though he's not in the film world, like he was the first one whom I'd watched editing together, and the things he said I mostly used because I think I have a feeling he knows. I don't know why, but I have a big trust.
You mentioned that your father plays the main role, but there's another very essential role of the invisible best friend of the daughter. Did you as a kid or maybe also as an adult have invisible friends?
No, and this was like one of the things I tried to avoid. That person seems to be like this kind of invisible friend only of the daughter or of the father, but rather the idea was to create a world where many people like this exist and where it's a normality. This world, maybe half of the people are visible and the other one is not visible, and they live normally together in a piece.
Element of magical realism is also something that can be discovered in many of your films. Sometimes it's very, very subtle, easy to miss. Sometimes it's very much in the open. What does fascinate you about this magic in the everyday life, especially since the everyday scenes that we see in your films are often almost documentary qualities?
I'm someone who always tried to find things which are different than rather pragmatic or practical. I don't know, sometimes you hear stories which are unbelievable, but I was also like growing up very trustful. Like when someone tells me something, I very often believe in it, even though it may seem fantastic. I have a feeling that many things which don't fit in modern understanding of the world are kind of pushed out from everyday life because they seem strange, or, you know, too strange or too unreal. And I think as time is passing by, it gets less and less. As I understand the reality, I think 3,000 years ago, everything was different and there was much more place for ununderstandable things in everyday life. I see that it's interesting for me to give it back more space.
Do you work with a very precise, detailed script, or is there a lot of room for improvisation and just natural events to happen?
It's different. In my previous film, there was a very precise script which we followed, but also we had kind of a documentary part of shooting, and then later I was combining it. Here in this film, there was a very precise script, but I didn't follow it almost at all. Like what's from the script left the beginning, everything happens in the city is from a script, beginning and the end. But everything in between was what we were finding on our journal.
Did during this road trip with your father, things happen that would you say were extraordinary but didn't make it in the film for various reasons?
Depends what we call like extraordinary. Because I really discovered that I'm not looking for something super special, but rather we would stop at some very normal places and try to find images there which could be interesting. There are many things which are not in the film which I really love. When it was the very long and hard editing process.
So did you shoot a lot of material that didn't make it in the film?
Yeah, a lot. It was hardest editing I've ever experienced. Also because there were a lot of things I liked. But it was also clear that there is certain amount of attention this film can keep.
Your film also focuses on small things that get easily overlooked and can be sources of joy, such as a little dog playing or just watching a beautiful field. Would you say that in this age of hypermaterialism, we lose touch with the little and especially the for free joys of life?
I can't talk about others, but I know that I'm losing it. Or I need more of it. I think the life I'm living is not the one I want to live. And I want to have more time for everyday small things. That's life. And somehow in this film, at least in this shooting moments, I tried to really give space to it.
It's very interesting since you said you're not quite satisfied with your life. And I think actually that's very common. I think very, very few people are satisfied with their life. But often we think that, oh, a well-known established filmmaker won a number of prizes. You've been at many renowned festivals. So we would think, oh, she's probably very happy with his life. What would you say, apart from not having enough time for everything you want to do, makes you unsatisfied?
I think there are so many reasons for someone in 2025 to be sad. It's everyone knows it. I think I'm not super unhappy of how I live, but I have a feeling the time is flying and I have really no control about it. And I would spend much more time with the ones I love.
Would you say that this is also something that's in the film, because they several times stop on their journey and take the time to talk to people, to just have a drink, to have a meal, to watch the area, so to do small things?
Yeah, I think the sometimes in films we show and do things which we wish ourselves in a life. That's also how football often comes to my films, because I'm dreaming of playing football. I'm doing it, but much less than I want. And I'm dreaming of something which will never happen, to have been a football player. There are things which can be in a film which you don't have in life.
Actually, the title is a football reference, as far as I understood. Would you like to explain it?
Dry leaf, it's a way of kicking a ball introduced in 50s by Brazilian player Didi. He was shocking the goalkeepers back then, because it's way of kicking a ball when it's impossible to calculate its trajectory. So when you're a goalkeeper, you don't know which side to go. And if, with all the other techniques, you know where it will go, the ball. Maybe you'll be too slow to catch it, but you know which direction you have to jump. And here it's completely impossible to understand it. It's the same for the one who's kicking. So no one knows what will happen. I think why they called it dry leaf back then, because it's the same thing when a leaf is falling from a tree and has this kind of trajectory which impossible to predict, and if it falls here or here, no one knows, no? Because it's so light. And I had a clear feeling that it's very much how I feel, maybe, but also more like how the characters, they take this journey and they have no idea where they will go.
Would you say that's also true for your work, that you get the ball rolling, but you don't always know where it will lead you?
Always. That's why it's interesting to work, to make, in this case, films, because in the very beginning, before I made like one or two shorts, I had this thought or fantasy that you can know. But at some point, I discovered that it's impossible, and it's good that it's impossible.
The visuals of your film are very rough, very grainy, almost sometimes look like old video films. How did you decide to create those specific visuals, which are not only different from your previous or most of your previous films, but also from the conventional cinematic optic?
This film has more or less exactly the same kind of visual as my first feature, which was made with the same phone, and which I see as something, I don't know, very, very beautiful. The helping hand for a filmmaker to be protected, to see too much.
Those football fields which disappear and the invisible person, would you say it's also on some level a political metaphor for people in the society who have disappeared to prison?
I didn't think about that while making the film, but I think what is happening now in Georgia, I don't know. I think it's a matter of interpretation. It's hard for me to, I try not to pre-think about the symbols or metaphors, but I'm completely open to it to be done after.
How do you feel about the things that disappear within society? Do you think that this is also a metaphor for how everything is slowly unraveling and we don't notice it until it's too late?
Absolutely. It's making film in Georgia is for me on one of the levels is to capture things which won't be there tomorrow. If we drive one way, if we don't do it now, maybe if we drive in 2 days back, maybe it's gone. So we have to capture it and keep it for future somehow.
You already mentioned that you wrote this film way back when the pandemic happened or started to write it. Do you have more projects from then, and what will be your next project?
Yeah, now what we are trying to make is even older. Like, I think the idea of this film I got when I was 20, so like maybe 20 years ago. It's a film called Bilingual, inspired by an album of British band Pet Shop Boys.
So will it be like a musical or?
No, it's not a musical. It's hard to describe it genre-wise, but it's more something between a detective and a romantic film with a lot of music still, yeah.
By the Pet Shop Boys?
No.
Or are you worried about the rights?
No, but it's more like a feeling what this album gave me. So we'll make music ourselves.
Now that you're here at Locarno, what would you hope that the audience take away from your film if they watch this?
I have really zero understanding for what this film is now. And that's why I'm really curious to hear what people think or say, because It's always a discovery.
If you want to find out what Alexander Kubrick's new film Dry Leaf is about, then you are best watch it. It's now here at Locarno. As soon as it gets a German release, you read about it at Movie Break. I say thank you so much, Alexander, for this interview.
Thank you so much.